Ever notice how you'll spend 20 minutes hunting for a coupon to save $5 on groceries, but wouldn't bother saving the same amount on a 500 laptop? Or how lottery winners often blow their winnings while carefully budgeting their paychecks? For decades, economists dismissed these behaviors as irrelevant quirks. But what if these quirks reveal something fundamental about how humans actually make decisions? This question consumed Richard Thaler, an economist who spent 40 years documenting how real people deviate from the rational ideal. His work didn't just challenge economic orthodoxy, it birthed an entirely new field called behavioral economics, earning him a Nobel Prize and reshaping everything from retirement policy to tax collection. Economics built its entire foundation on a fictional character called Homo economicus, perfectly rational beings who optimize every decision, never contradict themselves, and process information without bias. Economists loved this character because it allowed them to build elegant mathematical models. There was just one problem: nobody actually behaves this way. Thaler discovered this early in his teaching career through a simple exam. His microeconomics students scored an average of 72 out of 100 points and were furious despite his explanation that grades would be curved. His solution? Make the next exam equally difficult but worth 137 points instead. Students now averaged 96 points, actually performing worse percentage-wise, but left the classroom delighted. This made no sense in traditional economic theory, where only real outcomes should matter, not arbitrary numerical scores. For four decades, Thaler collected examples of economic misbehaviors. The problem wasn't irrationality, we're simply human. We can't solve complex optimization problems in our heads, our beliefs contain biases, and supposedly irrelevant factors influence us greatly. Traditional economists care only about a gift's substance. Real humans care about the wrapping, too. When Thaler highlighted these inconsistencies, he encountered the invisible hand wave, three defenses claiming markets discipline away irrationality. Critics said experimental stakes weren't high enough, yet raising real stakes increased irrational behavior. They argued people learn from experience, but crucial life decisions happen too infrequently for effective learning. They insisted competition eliminates irrationality, assuming unlimited arbitrage opportunities that rarely exist. Why treat tax refunds differently than paychecks? Why refuse to sell a concert ticket for $200 when you wouldn't pay that to buy it? The answer is mental accounting, the cognitive system organizing financial activities. Unlike economic theory treating all dollars identically, humans mentally separate money into different accounts with different purposes. Beachgoers offered more for beer from an upscale hotel versus a rundown grocery store. Same beer, same beach, different mental accounts. This involves acquisition utility, value minus price, and transaction utility, how good the deal feels. We buy unneeded things because they're such a good deal, explaining why JCPenney's honest everyday pricing failed spectacularly. Consumers had become addicted to the thrill of discounts. When dinner guests thank their host for removing cashews, they reveal what traditional economics denies. We struggle with self-control. Smokers buy cigarettes one pack at a time instead of cheaper cartons. Dieters avoid stocking ice cream. These behaviors expose an internal conflict between long-term goals and immediate temptations. Thaler and mathematician Hirsch Scheffrin developed the planner-doer model. A forward-looking planner constantly battles a present-focused doer. Someone stranded with 10 energy bars for 10 days faces this conflict. The planner wants one bar daily. The doer would devour three immediately. Solutions include commitment devices, programmable safes releasing one bar daily, or internal control through guilt. Mental accounting, using envelopes, jars, separate accounts, represents another control technique. Parents force piano lessons because we already paid. Moviegoers endure terrible films because we bought tickets. Mentally accounting for unused purchases feels like taking a loss. Using them closes the account without recognizing waste. Most people fall between sophisticated, aware of weaknesses, and naive. We suffer from hot-cold empathy gaps. When full, we can't imagine future hunger. When calm, we underestimate stress reactions. This explains Save More Tomorrow's success. Committing to future retirement increases avoidance loss while leveraging better self-control. The first implementation saw 78% acceptance, quadrupling savings rates from 3.5% to 13.6%. Traditional economics assumes self-interest drives behavior, but Thaler discovered moral considerations powerfully shape decisions. When surveying Canadians, 82% deemed a hardware store raising snow shovel prices from $15 to $20 after a snowstorm unfair, exactly what economic theory prescribes when demand exceeds supply. Fairness perceptions depend heavily on framing. People object to auctioning scarce cabbage patch dolls, 74% unfair, unless proceeds benefit charity, 79% acceptable. Yet charity doesn't justify auctioning medicine during epidemics. Healthcare occupies a different moral category. Removing a discount feels less objectionable than adding a surcharge, though both achieve identical prices. Smart businesses establish their highest intended price as regular and offer discounts rather than adding fees. This research explained why wages don't fall during recessions. Cutting wages 7%, 62% called it unfair. The same real reduction through 5% raises with 12% inflation, 78% found it acceptable. Inflation provides cover for adjustments that would otherwise trigger outrage. Beyond fairness lies the endowment effect. Richard Rosette, Thaler's department chair, refused to buy $100 wine bottles, yet regularly drank wines from his cellar worth that amount. Testing this with Cornell students, Thaler gave half coffee mugs. Sellers demanded $5.25, while buyers offered only $2.25 to $2.75. Instead of the predicted 11 trades, only 1 to 4 occurred, confirming losses hurt about twice as much as equivalent gains feel good. Financial markets became the ultimate testing ground for behavioral economics. Traditional theory held that high stakes and professional traders would eliminate irrational behavior, yet dramatic misbehavior occurred precisely here. Traditional finance rests on two pillars. Prices reflect fundamental values, and you can't consistently beat the market. Behavioral economists challenged both. Robert Shiller's 1981 paper showed stock prices were far too volatile to represent rational forecasts of future dividends. Comparing actual prices to dividend values from 1871 onward, Shiller found prices fluctuated wildly while dividends remained stable, like a drunk weatherman forecasting Singapore's consistently stable temperatures. The October 1987 crash settled the debate when prices fell over 20% without significant news. Thaler and Werner DeBont demonstrated the overreaction effect. Stocks with the worst 3 to 5 year performance subsequently outperformed previous winners by 40 percentage points. The most compelling evidence came from identical assets trading at different prices. When 3Com spun off Palm in 2000, each 3Com share included 1.5 Palm shares. With Palm trading at $95, 3Com should have been worth at least $143, plus its remaining business. Instead, 3Com traded at $82, implying the market valued the remaining business at negative $23 billion. If markets can't price Palm/3Com correctly, larger disparities can occur at the market level, as with technology stocks in the late 1990s and housing prices in the mid-2000s. Traditional economics offers little beyond tax adjustments, but behavioral economics has revolutionized decision-making. Save More Tomorrow transformed retirement savings by addressing inertia, loss aversion, and present bias, letting employees commit now to saving more from future raises. By 2013, 4.1 million Americans were using automatic escalation, saving an additional $7.6 billion annually. This success led Thaler and Cass Sunstein to develop libertarian paternalism, nudging people toward better decisions while preserving freedom. Their book Nudge caught political attention, prompting David Cameron to establish the UK's Behavioral Insights Team in 2010. Testing messages with 120,000 taxpayers, they found the best approach combined two ideas. Most people pay on time, and you're in the minority that hasn't. This increased timely payments by 5 percentage points, accelerating $9 million in revenues. Applications spread rapidly. Google placed healthy foods at eye level in cafeterias, reducing sugar consumption without restricting choices. The Obama administration retimed text reminders about student loan applications, increasing completion by 8%. These successes reveal a fundamental truth. Choice architecture is inevitable. There's no neutral presentation. Behavioral economics reminds us that economic systems must work with human nature, helping people choose better while preserving freedom.